Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Tonight, we continue along the Recollections series, and we're talking about Paul Kruger tonight, a pass rusher drafted in the second round out of Utah in 2009. Here to talk about him with me is Josh Reed. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so many times you have been on this show, and it's because you always deliver when you come on. I really appreciate talking football with you anytime, Josh. But Paul Kruger, your choice. Why him?
Man, Paul Kruger is just like when I really started diving deep into my Ravens fandom, like when I got to the high school age, that's kind of like was kind of like the my ascension to a Ravens like full out fandom kind of coincided with Paul Kruger's kind of raised to fame with the organization. And he's just a player that I was like, I always like saw something in. And like when I was playing football, like I was an outside linebacker at first, and I really was like really interested in pass rushers. And he was like one of like him and Terrell Suggs are two of my favorite on the Ravens at the time. And I just really fell in love with Paul Kruger, and especially that 2012 run. I mean, just everything he meant to that team, just going from a guy who could hardly crack the active roster, you know, as a rookie to, you know, slowly matriculating his way up into a prominent role. I just love everything he brought, and the Ravens won the Super Bowl without him. I don't believe.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a hell of a year from Kruger. That season, that was his best. What I remember about him is he had a lot of difficulty getting on the active roster as a rookie. There was a lot of edge competition that year in 2009. Barnes and Johnson and Suggs and Trevor Price was still with the team. And it was very difficult for him to get on the field at all to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens sometimes. And like I remember that year when the Ravens took him in the second round, I was like, wow, I mean, okay. I mean, I like it, but, you know, like who's he going to beat out kind of thing. And but like I said, sometimes the Ravens, that they really like to draft with some foresight in mind. And like, hey, like, you know, these guys are coming up on contracts, or these guys are getting up here in age. Here's a guy that, you know, may not hit the ground running as a rookie, but who's going to, you know, blossom for us later down the road. You know, didn't really happen in year two for him, but year three and year four is when he really took off.
Yeah, it was weird. One of the things they said, and this is often true of outside linebackers, is if they don't play special teams, then they have a lot of difficulty. And the Ravens have really gone for outside linebackers who did play special teams. Albert McClellan was one of the guys who was taking away snaps from him in early 2012, for example. But in 2009, and McClellan might have been on the team in 2009. I'd have to actually go back and check to see if that were true. In 2012, I know he started the season for Terrell Suggs. And one of the things one of the questions about Paul Kruger was whether or not he could really set the edge in the run game.
Yeah. I mean, it's really what's going to decide between you being a situational pass rusher or an every down player. And, if that he didn't really show that consistency to start off with his career. And, I just look at the Albert McClellan thing. He didn't join the team until 2011. So
2011. Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't on there.
So 2012, he was already starting for Terrell Suggs. That's pretty impressive as a second-year player. I guess, you know, necessity will force you to do a lot of things, but he started actually the first game of the season at RDE, I believe.
If Terrell Suggs doesn't tear his Achilles playing basketball that offseason, who knows what would have happened to Albert McClellan's career. He might have been a special teams only guy, but he was one of those glue guys on special teams for us. But we're getting back to Paul Kruger. Paul Kruger, man, he's a guy that, you know, didn't record a sack or even a quarterback hit his rookie year, but he made one of the biggest plays in one of the biggest games that year. It was week 12 against the Steelers in overtime. That picks off Dennis Dixon. I remember it so vividly. He was like, I think he picked it off on the Ravens side of the field and returned about 26 or so yards and set up. I think they handed the ball to Ray Rice like three or four straight times, and then Joe Flacco kneeled down, and Billy Cundiff, the game-winning chip shot field goal. I know chip shot and Billy Cundiff, you know, people don't like saying that in the same sentence, but, you know, like there were some times early on Paul Kruger's career where he came up big and he set up Billy Cundiff for some game winners.
Yeah, that was a good year. And yeah, it was Cundiff he was just getting his start with the Ravens then, because they had released Hauschka at midseason after he missed that kick in Minnesota. He never recovered from that. But anyway, that was a huge play in that game. Certainly, I would think the biggest play of his career, although he had some other big ones. He had a big forced fumble in the Mile High Miracle game. But I want to talk about some general things as well. We remember Paul Kruger, the pass rusher. And obviously, if you're a pass rusher, you're on the field for a lot of passing downs. What was really impressive is that he played under three defensive coordinators with the Ravens. He played under Madison to start with, then Pagano for a year, and then Pease for his last year in 2012. And he dropped the cover a lot. Now, the Ravens did that because they're outside linebackers. They asked him to drop the cover 14% of snaps career. You compare that to Jadeveon Clowney, who's dropped, you know, 3% of his snaps for his career. I think it might have been up to about 6% this year with the Ravens, but it's still not a lot. You know, he's very infrequently set in that role. You know, a similar maybe kind of player in a sense that the pass rushing is, you know, a primary element of what they do, but fairly versatile in terms of how he could help you dropping off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times teams, you know, like other teams outside of Baltimore don't like when their top pass rushers drop in the coverage, but just a nice switch up. You know, it's nice, like, you know, change of pitch to throw. I mean, you don't have that interception against the Steelers as a rookie if he doesn't, you know, like they call that zone blitz, and you got Ray Lewis coming to him, drop it right to underneath coverage. That's just the occasional, you know, like that switch up that the Ravens in particular love doing to opposing teams that they never see coming, and it results in some big time plays. I mean, Terrell Suggs made a living off of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it usually, when he drops off the line of scrimmage, it is a zone blitz. As you say, somebody else is getting a chance for a free run of the quarterback a good percentage of those times. And if you notice, when a safety or a slot corner, or even a linebacker, the minimum acceptable pressure rate for those players is a lot higher than it is for a down lineman, because you know, they situations are created special for their pass rush opportunities.
Kyle Hamilton, point case. Yeah, I mean, that guy, it's like, and the thing cool about Kyle Hamilton is like, he kind of like, I wouldn't say nonchalant, but like, he's so deceptive with his pressure is to like, you think he's going to drop. And then he's like, all right, I'm coming. Like, kind of like a delayed blitz thing. And they never see, you see so many times of him coming off unblocked. It's not like a Arthur Millett pressure or Marlon Humphrey pressure where it comes loose from blindside. I mean, this dude sometimes literally won't even be in the frame and then just peering into the backfield. So,
yeah, he's got more pass rush chops in terms of ability to use his arms to shed blocks, some slipperiness just to be too quick for the opposing mm-hmm. lineman, and I'm so impressed with Hamilton. But let's get back to Kruger here, because we're supposed to talk about him here. One of the things that he did not do well was tackle, and that was something that kind of dogged him through his whole career with the Ravens. A 23.4% career missed tackle rate, way too high for a defensive lineman, outside linebacker. It's those guys, they make a high percentage of their tackles. You know, probably normal. I would say interior defensive linemen tend to be right around 90% or even slightly higher. And outside linebackers, maybe, you know, 12% might be a normal kind of missed tackle rate. So he's double that. And that was really a problem with him career. Some of it was missed sacks, but most of it was missed tackles on run plays.
Yeah, my coach called him, my whole high school coach called him a piggyback tackler. A lot of times he'd hop on the back and go for a ride, but, you know, he wouldn't bring the guy down. You know, like sometimes guys that go for the ball. And like as somebody who's somewhat of a situational pass rusher, you know, a lot of times you're kind of going for the ball, right? But you're not mm-hmm. necessarily securing a tackle. And by doing that, you can, you know, lead to yards after catch or broken tackles and missed tackles. So, I mean, it kind of happens sometimes with those designated pass rushers.
When you play on a great pass rush like the 2023 Ravens, where you can count on regularly there's going to be a second pressure even if you happen to miss the sacks, take some chances. Get the quarterback off the spot. Get there quickly. Mm-hmm. There'll be follow-up pressure. Justin Madubuike is going to be showing up for his cleanup sack pretty quickly, even if nobody else does. But anyway, great. It was one of the nice things about Kruger was his pass rush rate for his career was about 11.3%, which is good for an outside linebacker. It's not great, but it's good. And it really fit that role as a situational pass rusher in his third and fourth years in particular.
Yeah, for sure. That's really like he recorded 15 and a half of his 35 career sacks with the Ravens, and the bulk of those came in the final 2 years with the team.
You know, one of the other things is when the Ravens had to let him go. And if you remember the 2012 season, there was no way they were going to keep a bunch of the free agents. Mm-hmm. And Kruger was one who was certainly gone. They did not have room for Joe Flacco under the franchise tag. So the only way to keep Joe Flacco was to sign Joe Flacco. And Joe, of course, demanded, you know, the moon and got it. And after that Super Bowl run, and players like LRB and Kruger and some others had to leave. I'm trying to think of who else there is that
Bolden,
Reed,
Bolden.
Yeah,
Bolden got traded.
Yeah. So anyway, a whole bunch of players that basically had to make some heartbreaking decisions on to keep Joe Flacco. But I also think in the case of Kruger, it would have been the right decision to let him go in a vacuum. If you look at who got the return on Paul Kruger in his career, the Ravens did spend draft capital on him. So I don't want to minimize that, but it was the second round draft pick, number 57 overall. They paid him $836,000 of AAV per year over that first 4 years of the contract. And they got, what, 15 and a half sacks roughly on that. Some other good plays, some big plays.
That's in the regular season because they got even more in the postseason. They got 4.5 in 2012, and I think one in 2011, and then half a sack in 2010.
He has got to be close to the Ravens' all-time record holder for postseason sacks. And I know McCrary had 6 in 2000. But that's got to be close to the record. I didn't look at it. Some of the highlights I have are from those games. Point I'm making. Okay, so the Ravens paid him $3.35 million of the $33.35 million he earned in his career. The rest of that was paid by the Browns and the Saints. The Browns, in particular, ate most of that by paying him $27 million, and then the Saints finished off paying him another $3 million at the end of his career for one year. So you think about what happened here. the Browns are in that lousy position of they don't have any good players because their draft picks didn't work out. So they have to go to the market and sign free agents. The Ravens are in the very fortunate position of having to make a heartbreaking decision about one of their own. And, oh, by the way, they got a comp pick out of it. I forget whether it was a 3 or a 4, but it might very well might have been a 3, given where Kruger was in the market that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. And they had just taken Courtney Upshaw early in the second round that the year before. So they were already prepping for that. And then you fast forward 2 years, Kruger's having his best season with the Browns, but then you get Elvis Dumervil, and he's having a career year too with the Ravens. He got 17 sacks for, I wouldn't say pennies on the dollar compared to what the Browns were paying Kruger before, a lot less. He got 17 sacks out of Dumervil. Kruger had 11 sacks in 2014, but like I said, the Ravens still made out.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I like bandits in that situation, if you ask me.
Yeah, Ravens were very sharp. Now they got, I think they got Dumervil actually in 13.
So they did, but he had the career year in 2014.
Right. When they had the great sack year, but Dumervil for the 4 years they had him, they paid $6 million AAV for Dumervil. They got a 14.5% pressure rate, which is much higher than what Kruger did in his career. They got 35.5 sacks. They got two Pro Bowls and an All Pro 1 year out of Dumervil on that contract. Great free agent move. And at that same time, you know, you don't want to be all Schadenfreude about it, but on the other hand, it's really nice that they made the right call, and you kind of want as many examples of that as possible where it worked out just right. You got the best possible comp pick. You let a player go when it was the right decision to let him go and not pay him that kind of money. And you found a cheap alternative that really made sense. And, you know, all I can say is the 2024 Ravens really need to take a lesson from the 2013 Ravens in this one particular case. And nobody wants to be the 2013 Ravens again anymore, but 2013 Ravens had a lot of roster turnover they needed to deal with, just like the 23 Ravens did. And the 2000 after 2012 and then after 2023, it's something this team has to deal with. And it's something that they need to be constantly making smart, but heartbreaking decisions to let players like Patrick Queen go, or, you know, it might be Stone is out of their price range. Could be Zeitler is out of their price range. Certainly could be OBJ is out of their price range. Whatever the case may be, they'll have to make some heartbreaking choices.
Yeah, but I think the core difference between the key difference between the 2013 Ravens and the 2024 Ravens is that this team, like, the young core is intact and they have a quarterback that kind of raises the level and gives you more room for error. And, you know, like, as hot as Joe Flacco was in that playoff run in 2012, you know, he never really captured that again outside of, you know, kind of a little bit in 2014. And whereas Lamar Jackson kind of, like, raises the entire floor of the team to where even if you do get gutted a little bit, you know, his presence and elevated presence alone is going to kind of, you know, really earn you some more wins that you otherwise wouldn't have.
Okay. First of all, completely agree with the theory in general. And I'll just say it, no doubt about it. The 2023 Ravens were the best Ravens team of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And the 2000 team won it, and it will always be very dear to us. And the 2012 team had a great run and they won it, but they were the worst of the first five Harbaugh teams. And they still won it all, which is really remarkable. I know there's some people who would argue that differently. I'm stating it as an assertion. If you believe slightly differently, it doesn't endanger the point. You know, it's great to get into the tournament, and it gives you a real chance to win. The Chiefs certainly weren't the best team in the NFL this year, but they had the postseason run to win it as well and beat a couple of very, very good teams this season.
Yeah, Ravens fans don't want to hear that sometimes, but, like, if you really think about it, how often does the best team in the league win it all? It's usually the team that gets hot at the right time or has the most postseason experience, like the Patriots did time and time again. I mean, there are so many years when the Patriots were on their run where they were far from the best team in the league. But because they've been there, done that, kind of like the Chiefs are now, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but that's just like with Ravens fans kind of like, but it kind of snap back to reality. If you really sit back and think about it, how often does the best team in the league really win at all? I mean, 2022 was kind of a toss-up between who was the best team between the Chiefs and the Eagles. A lot of people thought it was the Eagles. Some people thought it was the Chiefs. And it really came down to some Jalen Hurts fumble that returned for a touchdown and some other questionable calls at the end of that game. But like I said, it's really any – I won't say anybody's game any year, but you can't – the best team doesn't always win. Even though the Ravens are the best team in the league, they weren't necessarily destined to win, even though all signs and metrics are pointing to them as they should have ran the table.
And your point there was that it's rare that the two best teams, for the best team even from each conference, is even in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Yeah. So great. Yeah, I didn't hear you say it, but I'm sure you meant it. Let's talk about some of the great Paul Kruger individual moments of all time, because I think there are quite a few, and I'll let you go because I know you picked him and you have several already lined up.
Okay, yeah. So we already talked about the, you know, the interception of Dennis Dixon in his rookie year. That was kind of like his first big play of his career. Another one came. He got his first career sack against the Carolina Panthers in the blowout game in what was that, week 11 of the 2010 season. And but then he also like get the what did I have? Yeah, he shared half a sack record rating in a division round loss to the Steelers on their eventual game winning drive. It wasn't really a highlight, but he really started catch fire was in 2011. You know, recorded a career half 5.5 sacks, and then I mean his biggest moment of that game kind of came against, you know, the most unlikely opponent in week eight against the Cardinals, the 1-6 Cardinals led by Kevin Cobb, took the Ravens down to the wire, and it was Paul Kruger in his clutch sack on I think it was 3rd and 9. That ended up forcing the Cardinals to punt. It was his first multi-sack game of his career. Did get two sacks in that game, and then but that clutch sack on 3rd and 9 forced the Cardinals to punt the ball back to the Ravens, and you know, a run and a 36-yard bomb to Torrey Smith later, and they were already in field goal range. And without that clutch sack of Paul Kruger, who knows if the Ravens win that game?
Yeah, that's a really good one. I'd forgotten that game. That's a long time ago, but that's still a good one. I've got one in my bag here that a lot of people will forgotten about Paul Kruger, but it was during the dark ages without Terrell Suggs in 2012, and a very difficult year for the Ravens in terms of getting their pass rush going that year. But the two guys who really helped it out, one was Pernell McPhee, was in there with some interior pressures and doing a good job in terms of creating problems. And that would continue into 2014 when McPhee was just outstanding as the heart and soul of that pass rush, even though Suggs and Doomerville got all the credit. But Paul Kruger was the guy. And he came up with, I think it was 9.5 sacks during the regular season, might have been 9. But
yeah, not 9 sacks in the regular season, 4.5 in the postseason.
Yeah. So the game he didn't even have a sack in. It's the week 5 win at Kansas City. And Kansas City at that time was very different from the current Kansas City team. They had Jamal Charles,
yeah.
They ran the football all the time. And they basically did not think that the Ravens, apparently, either they didn't trust their quarterback to throw it, which I think was probably true. And they also didn't think the Ravens could stop the run with Kruger in there instead of Suggs, you know, taking a lot of edge snaps, even though they often would be on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Still, you know, a guy. And Kruger had his best run-stopping game ever. And I remember the article I wrote about it after the game, but Kruger was miscredited. Some tackles got miscredited against him, but I had him for 7 tackles in the game, 3 tackles for loss in that game on run plays. And it was constantly creating plays by getting into the backfield, even when he wasn't making the tackle. So it was one of those really big wins. The Ravens won that game 9-6. I don't know if you remember, because one of these games, the Ravens have played a few of them over the years that sets back football 50 years. But this was a beauty, and they got it done that week without Terrell. And honestly, every win they had without Suggs early in that season was a big contribution towards the Ravens playoff run. And you know, you remember week 4, they lost Lewis and Webb in the same game. And that defense was having a lot of problems. It was not a real top flight unit in 2012. It was good. You know, above average probably is where I would say, but it wasn't a top flight unit.
Like it was an opportunity. I tell people all the time, that was a very opportunistic defense. It wasn't a good defense. It was a very opportunistic defense.
All right. More memories.
Oh yeah. How can I forget his last game as a Raven? I mean, his 2 drive ending sacks in the Super Bowl, both in the first half, that made the 49ers settle for chip shot field goals by David Akers. He had the first one came in the first quarter, lost a 10. Oh man, he put this, like, I don't know what he called it, like a hop step move on the right tackle, and then kind of gobbled up Kaepernick for a loss of 10 yards, and that made them settle for a short field goal. And then on the last drive of the second quarter, right before halftime, he sacked Kaepernick, who was just about to escape up the middle of the pocket, sacked him for a gain of 0, and then they had to call a timeout and then settle for another field goal. So the Ravens were up 3 scores at halftime, and you know, the rest was history.
Yeah. That was that is one definitely a forgotten hero. The other one, Courtney Upshaw, I think, had the forced fumble.
Courtney Upshaw on the Michael James. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was another big highlight from that play. But the 2.5 sacks he had against Indy, including a forced fumble in Ray's Last Dance in Baltimore, was a terrific memory as well. But the Ravens were really teeing off on the Colts that day. They really had Andrew Luck in a vice pretty much the whole game, and I think it was three field goals for them. I don't think it was a safety or anything, or a six and a three even. I think it was three field goals.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I do remember the Ravens. They were on fire that game.
All right. Outstanding. Always a pleasure to talk football with you, Josh. And Paul Kruger, great choice. Exactly what we're looking for in terms of the segment. Some general thoughts about the player, a few recollections, 3, 4, 5, however many you got. Josh has a good memory and lots of good research, I'm sure, into Paul Kruger here. And so he's got more, but love to hear this and would love to hear from other folks. Doesn't have to be highly technical. It can be what this player meant to you. Maybe they, came to your son's birthday party because you sent him a letter or something, anything like that. Special time meeting the player, all that is cool as well. Would love to hear from you. And please DM me. Tweets are always open. DMs are always open, I should say, on Twitter. And I'll get back to you very quickly. Josh, where can we find your work online? Where can we talk football with you online?
Well, you can find all my Baltimore Ravens content at BaltimoreBeatdown.com. That's where all that's located, and have a great time doing that over there with those guys. And I am a full-time sports reporter up here in Anchorage, Alaska, covering all things Alaska. We actually just had a guy at the combine. I wouldn't say first Alaska at the combine, because we had another guy last year. But Edifon Lufosio, the Washington linebacker, really, really tested off the charts and did really well down there. So I got a story. I got some stuff out about him. And, yeah, the Alaskans are doing big things up here, man.
All right, it's great, man. I always love to hear the story of what you're working on, and as a lot of human interest sports, a lot of high school sports there in Anchorage, probably a little bit less of the Big Four sports, right? Did you write it all about that?
Big Four is in like
meaning the Big Four leagues in the U.S. and Canada. Do you get to?
When the Lassons are involved, yeah, like Jeremy Swayman for the Boston Bruins. I could write about him. Like I said, Lydia Jacoby, the Olympian, she's from Seward, Alaska. She just broke another record she's a sophomore at Texas now. And we got a couple guys in the NBA, a couple guys in the NFL that I get to keep track of. And whenever they do something cool, I get to write about those guys and those girls.
Very cool. Well, Josh, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.